Good afternoon, Radio Laurier. How's everything going today? Hope everyone's having a great day, enjoying this somewhat odd weather at this point of the year. I've got the window open, so if you hear any background noise, that's what that is, because it is deathly hot here in the studio. Somebody put the sauna rocks in, and it's just a wee bit too hot for me to handle. But we are back. I apologize for there not being an episode last week, as I had an exam the Tuesday, like the day after, and I had to study for it, so I had to cancel that episode. So I'm sorry I didn't tweet that one out. I should have done that. But regardless, we are back today with another episode of Richard's Ringside Radio. Again, I'm your host, Andrew Richard. Welcome to Richard's Ringside Radio, and without further ado, let's get started. Okay, we got plenty of news, both from this week and last week, so my notes are pretty extensive, so let's get going. We got this now. Okay. We're trying something new today. Normally we do, when we have our music breaks, we play it off YouTube. Oh, we have a new computer in the studio. That's new. What is this? Huh. We have a new machine here in the studio I've never seen before. Exciting. We're moving up in the world, it looks like. Usually I do, when we do our musical breaks, we play one or two songs, mostly two, so I can get a chance to catch my breath and you get a chance to, go to the bathroom, feed the dog, do whatever you gotta do, and then come back, rush back to hear the rest of the news. So normally I've done it on YouTube, but today we're gonna mix it up because over the weekend I recently discovered Spotify. Yes, I know. Why am I only discovering Spotify now? Well, it's a long story. I'm not going to get into it. I have Spotify now. So now I've, over the weekend, I compiled a playlist of my own songs. Well, not my own songs, but songs that I enjoy. So my playlist is 407 songs. So 28 hours and 32 minutes worth of music. So we have enough music now to last us for another 5 years. So... that's where we'll be playing music from now on, if any of you are curious. Anywho, lots of brass tacks here. Again, this is old news, but Edmonton goalie Mika Koskinen signs a 3-year contract with the Oilers at 4.5 AAV. I don't know how I feel about it. Koskinen's been, good for the Oilers this year, especially with Talbot not performing. I don't know. It's kind of funky because Koskinen, he's only got, I think, 37. He's got more games now since I wrote this, but he's got a very limited NHL resume. I mean, this is his first NHL season. So I don't know if, subpar play over the course of half a year, warrants a 3-year contract. I think it would have been better to see where he was at the end of the year, but I guess you risk losing him for nothing, but still, I don't necessarily agree with it. I think it's kind of pricey for a guy who's unproven, but we'll have to see where that leaves the Oilers, and we'll have to see where that leaves former Edmonton starter Cam Talbot. I mean, if you remember 2 years ago, Cam Talbot was one of the hottest goalies in the league. Last 2 years, his play has dropped dramatically, and he's on an expiring deal. So does that mean that the Oilers re-sign him, or do they try and move him ahead of the deadline? We shall see, as the deadline is looming, I think only 3 weeks away. So we'll see. In future episodes, we'll look at trade rumors and who I think could move, who I think can be big players in the deadline, and so on and so forth. Sorry, I'm just really thirsty. Okay, moving on. Los Angeles goaltender Jonathan Quick moves into fourth all-time amongst wins for an American-born goalie. Pretty impressive for Quick, especially when he was on bad teams. They won 2 Stanley Cups, but, before their first Stanley Cup and after their second, 2-3 years down the road, they haven't been very good. So good for Jonathan Quick, making fourth all-time. I think he's very underrated. I think it's kind of a shame that he hasn't won a Vezina. I know that his regular season play is not as good as his playoff play is incredible. I mean, you think about when the Kings won the Stanley Cup, he won the Conn Smythe. He's just a beast in the playoffs. Even last year when they got knocked out in the first round, by Vegas. They got swept. Quick was incredible. He only let like one or two goals by him in the first three games. It was incredible. So that doesn't make any sense. But no, he was incredible in that series. So anyway, Anaheim forward Andre Kess will have surgery for a torn labrum. Don't know where that is. And he will miss the rest of the season for the struggling Anaheim Ducks. Big loss right there for the Ducks. You know, they're trying to turn their season around, trying to maintain that playoff spot. And, you know, the loss of a sniper like Kess, it's tough. It's a tough one to swallow. Another tough one to swallow is that with the Columbus Blue Jackets, their star forward, Artirin Panarin, says he may not he will not negotiate a contract during the season. So that puts Columbus in a very tough position. If he won't talk contract in the season, then you know where does that leave them? I mean, they're a team that has a pretty decent roster, but Panarin's their really only high-end talent. And if he refuses to talk contract during the season, then, you know, the offseason comes and he doesn't sign. You can't trade him. He's on it. So, I don't know. It puts him in a really tough position, because if he decides not to re-sign, then he walks for nothing like Tavares did. Also, I found this rather interesting. I found this out yesterday. John Tavares is the second highest paid player in the NHL behind Austin Matthews. I mean, behind Connor McDavid. I think that's ridiculous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that John Tavares is the second highest paid player in the league. I mean, we're talking higher paid than Malkin, Crosby, Taze, Kane, Ovechkin. Like, the list goes on. It's absurd that he is paid that much money. John Tavares, he's a great player, don't get me wrong. But he is not nowhere near any of those other guys I just listed. He's not nearly as good as McDavid. Not nearly as good as Crosby. Not nearly as good as Malkin, Ovechkin, Kane, Taze. It blows my mind that he is so overpaid. And then Austin Matthews is looking for money between... I read earlier today that Austin Matthews is expecting a contract. Well, him and his agent are working through a deal with the Leafs. I think it's expected to be a 5 or 6 year deal, somewhere in the range between what McDavid's getting paid and John Tavares. Again, you want to tell me that Austin Matthews should be the second highest paid player in the NHL? I think that's absolutely ludicrous. Austin Matthews is not the second best player in the NHL. He's just not. Yeah, he's a great player. But I mean, I've said my piece on Austin Matthews many times. The guy is overrated. He's a great player, but overrated. I think he's overrated because he's a first overall draft pick for the Maple Leafs. And that's the only reason why he's given so much clout as he is. He's good, but he's not the best. I digress. The Ottawa Senators offered Matt Duchene an 8-year, $64 million contract, which would pay him an average of $8 million a year, reportedly. Now, that's not confirmed, but that's what's rolling around. I think that's a pretty solid deal for somebody of Duchene's caliber. Uno momento. excuse me. Anyway. Matt Duchene, yeah, he's a pretty solid player. I think $8 million is a good amount for him. 8 years. I think eight's a bit much. I think he's, what, 27, 28? So I think 8 years is a lot. Unless I haven't read the true number. Well, it's not. I don't know if the contract lessens as the years go on. But assuming it's eight a year for 8 years, you know, it's... It's a good deal. I just think I'm not a huge fan of the duration. I'm not a huge fan of signing 8-year deals to guys who are over 25. It's just not my fancy. But what can you do? Moving on to probably the biggest news, and the news that a lot of people want me to talk about, especially since it's you know, the tweet that was put out today by Radio Laurier. The tweet read, Leafs fan on our hashtag buzzin' for muzzin'. Didn't know that was trending. Find out all about the new Leafs D-Man and more by tuning into Recharge Ringside Radio now. So I thank you to my PR team there, Adam and Josh. Thank you guys. You guys do great work. So if you don't know already, the LA Kings traded defenseman Jake Muzzin to the Toronto Maple Leafs for prospect Carl Grundstrom and Sean Durzi and a first-round pick. So, in my opinion, Jake Muzzin's a really great top four defenseman on some teams, especially the Leafs. I would say he's a top two defenseman. He's very good puck moving, got a great offensive play to him. He scored the overtime winner to win the Kings their second Stanley Cup, and I think it was 2016. I believe it's 2016. I'm going to look that up. If you've listened to the show long enough, you'll know that I don't sit well with just guessing statistics. I need to make sure that they're actually factual. Otherwise, I look like an imbecile. NHL 2016 Cup. I think 2016 might be in Chicago. Pittsburgh. Was it 14? 14 was Chicago. No, 14 were the Kings. So was it 13? The Buck. Okay, so I'm all mixed up. So yeah, 2014 it was the Kings, and then 2012 was the Kings as well. Yeah, okay, there we go. I fixed myself. Anyway. So the Kings are in a full resale. A fire sale, I should say. They're trading off anybody they can to acquire prospects and picks to try and rebuild this team that it's been old for a while. sorry, I'm just getting another drink. So Grundstrom and Durzi are not great prospects, I'll admit. They're probably B-level prospects. And a first-round pick that's going to be pretty low for the Maple Leafs, considering, well, assuming they finish where they are today. In my end, for a guy who's going to be top four, probably even top two for the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think is a steal for the Maple Leafs. I think, I don't know. I feel like the Kings could have got a lot more out of Toronto, especially considering Muzzin's on a really good contract. Like, I mean, very good. He signed on for not just this season, but he signed on to next season at $4 million. You get a top pairing defenseman for $4 million? That's a premium in the NHL. I think LA could have squeezed a lot more out of Muzzin. And Muzzin, again, brings a lot. Muzzin brings the Leafs to a whole nother level. Because the only thing that we've been saying about the Leafs for the past probably 2 or 3 years is, yeah, they're good, but they have terrible defense. Their defense has been terrible. So for them to pick up a player of Muzzin's caliber for, in my opinion, not much, is a really good deal made by GM Kyle Dubas. So I think it's a really solid deal. Again, not only because he's a great player, but because of his contract. And it makes things easier on them. They can afford to lose Jake Gardner over the offseason and still have somebody who can play at Jake Gardner's level, if not higher than Gardner's level. So I think it's a great deal by the Leafs. I think it brings them to a whole nother level. Do I think that it brings them that much closer to the Stanley Cup? Yeah, I think it does. But does it win them the Stanley Cup? No, I don't think it does. Again, I'm a pessimist, and I don't like the Leafs. However, I do think that this does bring them... They'll make it out of the first round this year. I'm going to call it right now. They'll make it out of the first round. Because no matter who they take on in the East in the first round, whether it be Boston or Montreal, they're going to take either. Boston... Their defense core is kind of weak past Chara and Chara, Krug, and McAvoy. Past them, there's not much. So, plus, But Boston's also a bit of a wild card. If they're healthy, then they can be a force to reckon with. So we'll have to see where that goes. But I think Muzzin does bring the Leafs to that next level. So I think very solid deal by Dubas. And very good for the Leafs. And we'll have to see how things play out. Moving on, the Minnesota Wild sign backup goalie Alex Stalock for a 3-year, $2.355 million contract, which would pay him a salary of $785 average per year. That's a good deal for a backup goalie. And Alex Stalock, he was a pretty stable goalie out in San Jose. So, good deal by Minnesota. A little minor deal, but a good deal nonetheless. Some of you might find this pretty interesting. I do. Former Red Wing and former Stanley Cup champion and recently gold medalist, Pavel Datsyuk, he's not ruling out an NHL return. I mean, it's possible. He's currently 40 years old, but he spent his entire NHL career with the Detroit Red Wings, 14 seasons, and he's played the last three seasons in the KHL, for those of you who don't know. Pavel Datsyuk, the Magic Man, quite an amazing player. He was one of the NHL's top 100 players in history. Multiple Selke trophies, multiple Lady Byng trophies, two Stanley Cups, and just, a Magic Man with the puck. So could Datsyuk return next season? I mean, we saw Kovalchuk do it. Granted, Kovalchuk is younger than Datsyuk, but again, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, Jagr played till he was 45. So it's not impossible for Datsyuk to play again in the NHL. So if he does, I'll be excited because I love watching Pavel Datsyuk, and I would love to see him play again. And maybe a return to Detroit, may not be the most graceful thing. Well, it would be very graceful, but it wouldn't be the best thing to do. You wouldn't see him in the playoffs. It'd be a really short season for him. It'd be fun to see him back in Motown. Maybe take the captaincy for a year. I don't know. Probably the biggest news. Actually, we'll go back to that in a second. Continuing on with very famous Russian hockey players, Washington Capitals captain Alexander Ovechkin. He ties Sergei Fedorov for most points by a Russian-born player with 1,179. I'm pretty sure he passed. I'm not pretty sure. He definitely passed that. I think it was the other day against the Leafs. Alexander Ovechkin, highest scoring Russian forward in NHL history. Quite the accomplished feat. Again, you look at guys like Datsyuk and Fedorov.
Why did that door just open?
That was odd.
The door to the studio just popped open for no reason.
I did not know the studio was housing ghosts. Anywho, big news for Ovechkin, and congratulations to him. Also, a congratulations to Ken Hitchcock, the Edmonton Oilers coach, as he won the Order of Canada. So that award honors for contributions to hockey by players, coaches, etc. So Ken Hitchcock, the winningest coach in NHL, active NHL coaches, I should say. Impressive for the old-time coach. For now, we will go on a break. Let's see, what do we want to play here? Again, I'm very new to the whole Spotify thing. So, is there a way for me to hit shuffle? Okay. I'm not feeling that. Ooh. Okay. This is Angie by the Rolling Stones. Enjoy. Welcome back to Richard's Ringside Radio. Let's get back to it. Okay. So. Whiskey River. Hold on, Willie. So the biggest news, I would say, that happened last week, other than the Muzzin trade, would have to be the Peter Chiarelli firing from the Edmonton Oilers. So the GM, longtime GM and president of hockey operations for 5 seasons, was fired by the Edmonton Oilers last week. So again, spent 5 seasons as GM and president of hockey operations and kind of put the team in the dumpster, in my opinion. They just the last several years of his career in head office, not just with the Edmonton Oilers, but the Boston Bruins, have just been disastrous. I'm actually awestruck at how this guy actually managed to get a second job. Yeah, he got a Stanley Cup and had, a conference championship. So what? It frustrates me sometimes. And I would argue that a lot of the success in Boston was not Peter Chiarelli's doing, but Claude Julien. But I don't know. Let's look at some of the poor deals Peter Chiarelli made. Again, often regarded as one of the worst GMs in the league when he's with Edmonton. And I would like to preface as why he got a job in Edmonton in the first place. That's probably the first problem with Edmonton. I mean, when he left Boston, he had just traded away one of their best players in Tyler Seguin. He could have been... just imagine what Tyler Seguin could... It frustrates me so much. Because, again, just imagine. You got Tyler Seguin, Patrice Bergeron. Right? And then you factor in David Krejci on the third line. It's incredible. I mean, it's... You would have had the one of some of the best like center depth in the league. And he traded away for nothing. Louis Erickson bummed out. I can't even remember who else came out of that deal. That was a terrible trade. The Lucic, trading away Lucic to the Kings was also a terrible deal. Lucic was the heart and soul of that team. And he was a Boston Bruin through and through. And they just traded him away to LA for nothing. Trading away Dougie Hamilton to Calgary for, again, nothing. And I know that Milan Lucic and Dougie Hamilton aren't doing too hot right now. But at the time, they were doing pretty good. So I feel like he could have fetched a lot more, especially in the Seguin deal. He could have got a lot more. Trading away Andrew Ferentz was a bad... We're not trading... Yeah, no, he traded him away to Edmonton. That was a bad deal. And either that or it was a free agent signing. And he shouldn't have let him walk. Again, another Boston Bruin heart and soul guy. Man. It frustrates me greatly that he tanked Boston like that. But then we moved to Edmonton, where he somehow got a job miraculously. And one of the first things he does is sign the guy he traded away in Boston, Milan Lucic, to a ridiculously overpaid deal. I think he's getting paid $6 million a year. For 6 years, and the horrible deal. Milan Lucic is a great player, great guy, but he's so overpaid and so much term. It's ridiculous. So, and it bothers me because it drags his name through the mud. Because he's at the mercy of this deal. And I think I ranked them. Oh, I did rank them. Wait a second. Hang on. I'm just discovering here something that possibly might add to my list. I just want to see when he got hired by the Oilers. Okay. All right. For a second, I thought that Chiarelli was hired... I thought he drafted Neil Yakupov. Okay, we're good. I thought for sure that the timeline was messy though. So Yakupov was drafted in 2012. Chiarelli didn't come over till 2015. Okay, so crisis averted. Anyway, so here are my rankings of the worst moves made by Peter Chiarelli when he was with Edmonton, just with Edmonton. So number 5, right before he left, he just had to pop one nail back in the coffin. By signing Mikko Koskinen to a lot of money to an unproven goalie. So that could still prove to bite Edmonton in the butt, or it could prove to be a pretty okay deal. It, again, I think it's an okay deal for a goalie who's good, but we don't know what Koskinen can bring to a whole season and beyond. So we'll have to see. Number four, the Milan Lucic deal. I've already talked about it. It's ridiculous how much money and the term. Number three, he traded a first-round pick for Griffin Reinhart of the New York Islanders. Now, if you don't know who that is, it's probably for a good reason, because Reinhart was in and out of the NHL for years. He was a really high draft pick, and I think he's in the AHL. He's definitely not with the team, like with the NHL club right now. That was a draft bust. And then Chiarelli still somehow traded for him. And what makes it even worse is that that first round pick that Edmonton traded to the Islanders would eventually become Matthew Barzal. Let that sink in there, Edmonton fans. You guys had Matthew Barzal in your hand and you traded him away for Griffin Reinhart, a guy you'll never ever see again. Let that one sink in. Number two, trading Jordan Eberle for Ryan Strome. And then trading Ryan Strome for Ryan Spooner. So when the Ryan Strome and Jordan Eberle trade came out, I was like, wow. Wow, what a deal. It was terrible. I couldn't believe that I traded away Eberle for Strome, who was, you know, had okay numbers in the Islanders, with the Islanders, but was unproven, whereas Eberle had put up multiple 20-goal seasons and was solid for the Oilers. And then Strome didn't end up working out in Edmonton, so what do? They just flip him for Ryan Spooner, who they put on waivers last week. It's so convoluted and stupid, some of these moves. That one really threw me for a loop, because I'll talk about it in a second here. And number one, the worst deal made by Peter Chiarelli when he was with Edmonton was the Taylor Hall for Adam Larson deal. Adam Larson's a great defenseman, but he will forever live in the shadow of being traded for Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall went on to win a Hart Trophy in New Jersey last year. Meanwhile, Larson's a steady defenseman. Probably their best defenseman other than Oscar Klefbom. But that's just by default because Edmonton has no good defenseman. It was horrible. Even if Edmonton would have got another pick back for Hall, I don't think that would have fixed it. If it was a first-round pick, debatable. But I mean, Hall was on a pretty manageable deal. And I still can't get over that Peter Chiarelli traded away Jordan Eberle and Taylor Hall. I mean, okay. So again, I feel like I've talked about this many times, but the stockpile of first-round picks that Edmonton had, Connor McDavid, Taylor Hall, Jordan Eberle, Taylor Hall, and Neil Yakupov, I guess, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. That's a lot. So Yakupov was a bust. Somehow Nugent-Hopkins survived. McDavid's the future. They trade away Eberle, and they trade away Hall. So that only leaves, of all of those three players who were there for the longest, Hall, Eberle, and Nugent-Hopkins, I always knew there's three of those players, they have to trade away at least one, and I have to say Nugent-Hopkins. He's the worst out of all three. And the same problems can happen in Toronto. They have Matthews, Marner, and Nylander, right? All three of them. They can't keep all three of them signed. So they have to trade away one. And Dubas has already come out and said he's not trading with Nylander, even though he's having a terrible year. And Edmonton did the flip side of that and traded away the two best players and kept the worst one. Again, Nugent-Hopkins is an okay player, but when compared to the likes of Jordan Eberle or Taylor Hall, it's absurd. So I think I can't get over the Hall trade. Anyway, those were the five worst moves made by Peter Chiarelli when he was in Edmonton. He's gone now, and it was a Gretzky. I can't remember which Gretzky. It wasn't Wayne Gretzky, but it was, his brother or something who took over as interim GM. Okay. Moving on as I take a deep breath. The Detroit Red Wings retired former Red Wings defenseman Red Kelly. So his number four will be up in the rafters along with many other Detroit greats like Ted Lindsay, Gordie Howe, Nick Lindstrom, Joe Sakic, etc., etc. He won four cups in Detroit. He had 472 points in 846 games with Detroit and won four Stanley Cups in Toronto, who's also retired his number four. And he was the first ever player to win the Norris Trophy. So congratulations to Red Kelly. They retired it this week or no, last week at some point. So congratulations to Red Kelly. Glad he can come out. It wasn't certain if he could go to the retirement ceremony, but he ended up pulling through and getting there, and it was a nice moment. Moving on to some more milestones. Pittsburgh defenseman Chris Letang scores his 108th career goal, tying Paul Coffey for a franchise record. For franchise lead for the Pittsburgh Penguins amongst goals for defensemen. So it's pretty impressive for Letang. I mean, granted, Letang's played his whole career there. Meanwhile, Coffey bounced around everywhere, but it's still quite the accomplishment. Meanwhile, Evgeny Malkin scored his 600th career assist, all with the Pittsburgh Penguins. I think he's only four behind Jaromir Jagr. So he will definitely go down in history as one of the Pittsburgh Penguins' greatest players of all time. And again, a lot of people say this, especially Don Cherry. Rather insulting that he was left off the top 100 players, especially with the hardware and the skill that he has. Former Arizona Coyote and Chicago Blackhawk Antoine Vermette retires after 14 seasons in the NHL. He had 525 points in 1,046 games and won a Stanley Cup with the Chicago Blackhawks in 2015. So he played with the Ottawa Senators, the Columbus Blue Jackets, most notably and longest, I would assume, with the Arizona Coyotes, with the Chicago Blackhawks and the Anaheim Ducks. Moving on to Beantown, Tuukka Rask becomes the Boston Bruins' all-time leader in wins. His 253rd win was a 1-0 victory over the Caps over the weekend. So congratulations to Tuukka Rask. In an impressive accomplishment. The Bruins are an original six team, so congratulations to him. So we'll talk about here a minor deal. The Pittsburgh Penguins trade away defenseman Jamie Oleksiak to the Dallas Stars for a fourth-round pick. Oleksiak returned to Dallas after leaving there to go to Pittsburgh a couple seasons ago. And some injury news. Montreal Canadiens lose Paul Byron in their last game against Edmonton with an upper body injury. So it's assumed to be an arm injury, but the damage is not known yet. And again, a pretty sizable deal that was made over the past week. The Pittsburgh Penguins making a splash before the trade deadline. They trade away Derek Brassard, the struggling centerman who came over last season from Ottawa. He comes over to Pittsburgh, struggled a little bit, couldn't find his game. So they trade him and former Detroit Red Wing Riley Sheahan, a second-round pick, and two fourth-round picks, one belonging to Pittsburgh and one to Florida, to the Florida Panthers for centerman Nick Bjugstad and Jared McCann. I think it's a really solid deal from the Penguins. They traded away Brassard. He was struggling. He just didn't fit in that lineup. Sheahan was good, but I imagine it was just another piece to put into that deal. Second-round pick, which is assumably going to be pretty late, and two fourth-round picks, one that'll be probably mid-range and one that'll be pretty low, to Florida for, Jared McCann, who will slot nicely on the fourth line. But the big piece coming over is that Nick Bjugstad, and big is an understatement. The guy's 6'6", 215 pounds. So get some size there with Nick Bjugstad playing the center line. So I think it's a really great deal for Pittsburgh. Not only did they trade away a struggling forward in Brassard, but they got a big, strong, talented player in Nick Bjugstad. And they've got some term on his contract on a pretty reasonable deal. A little much for a third line centerman, but still. So they get him for not only this season, but next season and the year beyond. He's signed until the 2020. He signed on to the 2021 season. So after the 2021 season, he will become an unrestricted free agent. But that's a pretty good term for the Penguins for the return back. So in summary, the Penguins trade Derek Brassard, Riley Sheahan, a second round pick and 2 fourth round picks to Florida for Nick Bjugstad and Jared McCann. Okay, we're going to go on a quick break. And then we will come back and look at the standings, as always. So here is Whiskey River by Willie Nelson. Enjoy. That was Moon Age Daydream by the late, great David Bowie. Okay, so as promised, we will look now at the stats. It doesn't look like we'll have time to get into last night's score summaries. But we might have time to set you up for tonight's games. If we go fast, we have 5 minutes left. Yeah, there's only 4 games left for tonight. Okay, so starting in the East, maybe we'll announce tonight's games first. Okay, so at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Anaheim and Toronto. Toronto looking to put Anaheim into 4 straight losses as they're already on a 3-game losing streak. The LA Kings taking on the New York Rangers for a game that used to be exciting, maybe 4 years ago, but not so much now. The Philadelphia Flyers taking on the Vancouver Canucks. The Flyers on a stunning 7-game winning streak. Wow. That's at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the Arizona Coyotes taking on the Dallas Stars, who look to make it 5 in a row. Against the Arizona Coyotes. So those are your 5 games for tonight. And a quick summary, I guess we'll do. Well, we're not going to go into each individual stat, but 3 games last night. The Boston Bruins beating the Washington Capitals 1-0. The Calgary Flames beating the Carolina Hurricanes 4-3. And the Montreal Canadiens taking the Edmonton Oilers 4-3 in overtime. All right, now to the stats. Okay, so starting in the Atlantic Division, again, Tampa Bay continues to run away with the Atlantic Division and the league. The nearest closest person is Calgary, and they're 7 points behind Tampa. They're just continuing to run away with it. But it's a pretty tight race once you get past Tampa. Toronto sitting second place with 65 points. Montreal sitting third place with 64 points. Who saw that coming? And Boston Bruins sitting fourth place with 63. And after Boston, it kind of drops after there, with Buffalo sitting in fifth with 56 points. Florida, Detroit, and Ottawa remaining at the bottom. Ottawa very far at the bottom with only 43 points. And it's looking to only get worse as it... we'll not get into that. We'll get into that next week. Moving to the Metropolitan Division, the New York Islanders continue their surprising lead of the Metro Division with 66 points. The wind's picking up outside. Just trying to figure out what that noise was. Anyway, the New York Islanders, again, continuing their surprising lead over the Atlantic Division with the Washington Capitals and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Hot on their trail, though, with 62 points, both of them tied for second place. The Columbus Blue Jackets have fallen a little far behind as they're on a 5-game losing streak. And they're sitting at 59 points, good for fourth place in the division. And the Carolina Hurricanes, 56 points. Philadelphia, 52. The Rangers, 51, and New Jersey dead last in the division with 47 points. Moving to the West and the Central Division, the Winnipeg Jets leading that division with 70 points, the Nashville Predators, 66 points for second, Dallas with 58, Minnesota, 56, Colorado, have they ever fallen far? 3-7-0 in their last 10 games, fallen from top three to fifth in the division. That's kind of embarrassing. St. Louis could make a comeback. I know I called it earlier in the year that I already banished them from my playoff bracket, but you know they could surpass the Colorado Avalanche with a win in their next game. Moving to the Pacific, Calgary doing rather well with 73 points for first. San Jose heating it up, 7-3-0 in the last 10 games with 67 points for second. Vegas cooling down a little bit. With 62 points, currently on a 4-game losing streak. Vancouver's cooled down immensely, sitting pretty for at fourth place with 54 points. Arizona with 51 points. Edmonton cooling off a lot from the momentum they had earlier in January, on a five-game losing streak, sitting in sixth place with 51 points. The Anaheim Ducks also slowing down a lot, again on a three-game losing streak with 51 points, and the Los Angeles Kings with 44 for the bottom of the division. So it actually looks like Ottawa is the worst team in the league right now. Let's look at the wild card first. We're currently at our hour, but we'll stick over a couple more seconds. So right now in the Eastern Conference, the two wild card spots are held by Boston and Columbus. Buffalo and Carolina are the nearest teams to the second card wild spot, 3 points back of the Columbus Blue Jackets. And then moving to the West, the top two, or the wild card spots, owned right now by the Minnesota Wild and the Vancouver Canucks. The Colorado Avalanche just 2 points back of a wild card spot. St. Louis 3 points. St. Louis, Arizona, Edmonton, and Anaheim 3 points back from Vancouver for that second wild card spot. And if we look now at the press the wrong button. Hang on. We'll look at the league wide standings. So right now the top five teams in the league: the Tampa Bay Lightning with 80 points, the Calgary Flames with 73, the Winnipeg Jets with 70. The San Jose Sharks with 67, and the New York Islanders with 66. Those are your top five teams in the league. Your bottom five teams of the league: the Detroit Red Wings in 27th place with 49 points. The Chicago Blackhawks in 28th place with 49 points. The New Jersey Devils with 47 points, if good for 29th in the league. The Los Angeles Kings with 44 points for 30th in the league. And the Ottawa Senators 43rd in the league. Wow, that was embarrassing. 43rd in the league. Good for 31st and dead last. Difficult, as the Ottawa Senators not having a first-round pick as they traded it away to the Colorado Avalanche. Yikes, that hurts. Anyway, that will do it for today's episode of Retired Ringsider Hockey, everybody. I hope you all enjoyed. Again, if you have any questions that you want me to talk about in next week's... show, then simply tweet at me at Ringside Radio, or I think it's at, it's pretty bad, I don't know my own Twitter handle, let me actually just go to Radio Laureate, and you'll find it on there. But yeah, so if you are interested, go ahead and check that out on Radio Laureate. Tweet at me any questions you want me to have it answered. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. I've been your host, Andrew Richard. This has been Richard's Ringside Radio. Here is Redbone to talk us off. Enjoy.